Good evening and Happy New Year. Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Monday, January 3rd, 2022. Sudanese political parties react to Prime Minister Abdalla Hamdok's resignation.
Prime Minister Abdalla Hamdok was actually unfortunate to find himself in a political setup that is alien to him.
And some SPLA-IO generals arrested in Jonglei State are released.
They have admitted the move. They admitted that, and at the same time also they apologize to the public.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some Sudanese political parties have praised Prime Minister Abdalla Hamdok's decision to resign, describing it as courageous. Some parties say Hamdok's resignation is a clear indication that the civilian-led military partnership will not help Sudan achieve its objectives of transforming the country into a democracy. Political party officials are vowing to continue with demonstrations across the country until the military hands over power to civilians. Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
شعب الكريم وبناء على كل ما ذكرت فإنني قد قررت أن أرد إليكم أمانتكم.
Sudanese Prime Minister Hamdok announced his resignation on Sunday evening in a speech broadcast live on state television. Addressing the nation, Hamdok said he had done his best to stop the country from descending into disaster. Hamdok cited a lack of political space, differences in opinion among partners in the transitional government, and a lack of political will among Sudan's leaders to fully implement the objectives of the transitional period as some of the reasons for his resignation. Hamdok said he found it difficult to continue in his position while young people are still being killed and tortured by Sudanese security forces. He expressed appreciation to the people for giving him what he called honor to serve the country with the aim of achieving civil democratic transition in Sudan. Some Sudanese political parties have welcomed Hamdok's decision to resign. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus in Khartoum, Mubarak Al-Fadil, leader of the reform wing of the Umma Party, hailed Hamdok for tendering his resignation.
Prime Minister Abdalla Hamdok was actually unfortunate to find himself in a political setup that is alien to him and really made it very impossible for him to perform his duties as a prime minister.
Hamdok was appointed Sudan's transitional prime minister in August 2019 and tasked with carrying out major reforms in Sudan's institutions. During his 3 years in office, Sudan won the confidence of the international community and the international financial system and was removed from the U.S. list of countries that sponsor terrorism. On October 25th, Sudanese military leader Abdel Fattah al-Burhan detained him along with top civilian political figures, accusing them of playing a negative role in achieving goals of the transitional period in Sudan. On November 21st, Hamdok reached a deal with the military leaders and was reinstated as prime minister. Al-Fadil says Hamdok was not politically strong enough to survive in Sudan's transitional situation after 3 decades of authoritarian rule under former President Omar al-Bashir. Still, Al-Fadil says Hamdok had some success.
He was a victim of such a turbulent and a chaotic period, but at the end he has actually established a precedent of resignation of high officials, which has not been there in the history of Sudanese politics.
Sharif Mohammed Osman is the leader of the Sudanese Congress Party and a member of the Forces for Freedom and Change, or FFC, coalition. He's speaking to South Sudan in Focus in Khartoum via phone. Mohammed commented. He said Hamdok lost the support of the Sudanese revolutionaries after he agreed to be reinstated into his position by the military. Mohammed says Hamdok's decision to resign is a clear indication that no one is in support of military rule in Sudan. He vowed to continue with the mass protests across the country to return power back to civilians. Muhammad says the mass public movement will be stronger and much more organized to face the military, and will continue to seek full implementation of the transitional period and demand civilian rule. He says the country is going to witness an escalation of protests, and I am sure through this we will achieve our objectives. Muhammad says mass protests have continued in the capital Khartoum and other towns since the military takeover. Protesters say they reject the agreement Hamdok had reached with the military. The Central Committee for Sudanese Doctors reports that more than 50 protesters have been killed since the military takeover and more than 500 others wounded. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Some opposition politicians and civil society activists have welcomed President Salva Kiir's order prohibiting acting military officers in South Sudan's People's Defense Force and other regular forces from participating in politics, community leadership positions, as well as youth and women organizations. Lamar Cole, the head of the National Democratic Movement, says Mr. Kiir should also follow the constitution and avoid appointing military officers to political positions. Winnie Chirino reports for VOA from Juba.
In a statement seen by South Sudan in Focus dated December 31st, President Salva Kiir ordered all active officers and non-commissioned officers in the South Sudan People's Defense Forces and all the other regular forces halt any involvement in politics, community leadership, youth or women's organizations. They are also barred from promoting propaganda and hate speech on social media and to concentrate on their constitutional mandate. The order also says those who violate the order will face punishment in accordance with the law. Major General Lul Rai Kong, the SSPDF spokesperson, says Kiir's decree is in line with the SPLA Act, which stipulates that military members shouldn't be involved in activities such as politics, business and community organizations. It is the first time Kiir has come out clearly banning the military officers from other activities, and Kong said the SSPDF leadership thinks the order will help transform the force into a professional and non-partisan body.
Some of us would be appointed to serve in civilian roles, and as soon as their services are terminated, they would come back to active military service, either by being reinstated to active military service, or they just come back and say, yes, I was on secondment, my services had been terminated, I'm coming back to the mother unit. I think it's going to put a stop to that practice, and it is highly welcomed. We need to stop mixing military issues with civilian activities.
Brigadier Lampo Gabriel, spokesperson of SPLA-IO, also approves of the order, although it is directed only towards the SSPDF. He says the president could have directed it to the Joint Defense Board to target all forces. He says the SPLA-IO already is complying with the order.
For us, it's already happening. Right now, all our officers that have moved into political position are not coming back to the military, and that is what our Commander-in-Chief, Dr. Machar, made it very clear, that if you choose the political path, don't come back to the army, and you will not be allowed to. That's why we are still stuck in the army, because some of us are being told, no, you are not going anywhere, you're not going to the political wing, because we want this reform agenda to be implemented, and you are going to be part of the implementation or part of the reform agenda that is going to happen.
Lama Cole is the head of the National Democratic Movement, a member of the umbrella opposition group South Sudan Opposition Alliance. He says the issue of organized forces getting involved into politics is a central concern because security officers are supposed to be professionals and non-partisan. He says President Kiir should ensure that officers adhere to the constitution and existing laws that ban political activity, but he says Kiir instead has allowed violations.
The president himself is the biggest violator of these provisions. He's the one who appoints military officers into political positions. He appoints them as governors and so on. And actually, as we speak, we have a number of them who are military in politics, and they are all governors. There are two governors in Bahr el Ghazal, and you have another governor in Eastern Equatoria who is also an active National Security Service officer.
Akol says the decree is uncalled for since there are already bans on military members taking political roles in the Constitution and the Political Parties Act. Edmond Nyakani, Executive Director for Community Empowerment for Progress, says the order is looking at demilitarizing politics, which he says is long overdue. Nyakani calls on President Kiir to translate the new order into action. He notes some members of parliament also are military officers.
I wish he could have started immediately by terminating those who are in uniform, who are already occupying such institutional offices. I wish he could have terminated them immediately, and that would have been a practical example that would have done differently by issuing an order, but at the same time exercise the order. But also this order should be taken into account when we're making the constitutional making process.
Nyakani says a number of the state governors, commissioners and technocrats within the ministries are still maintaining their military or security ranks. He says to change that, there is need for commitment from the leadership of the country. For VOA News, I am Winnie Sereno in Juba.
The Sudan People's Liberation Army in opposition, or SPLA-IO, in Jonglei State has released three senior military officers detained last year for trying to defect to the South Sudan People's Defense Force. The SPLA-IO says the three generals were freed after they apologized and recommitted to being part of the SPLA in opposition. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Lieutenant Colonel Kor Nyang, the spokesperson for Division 3 of the SPLA-IO in Jonglei State, announced the decision to pardon the officers and release them yesterday.
They have admitted their move. They admitted that, and at the same time also they apologized to the public. They say that, yes, it happened, but there is no any point of defecting from my charge to President Kiir, because after all, at this point, we are in process of unifying the force. So whether you are in Kiir government or you are in Machar government, after all, the force will be unified and it will be one army.
Nyang says the fleet officers, Brigadier General Michael Yenthor, Brigadier General Makwaj Galwag Deng and Colonel Simon Nyang Loin will be allowed to resume their duties immediately.
They will be reinstated again into their position, but at the moment, so the general command also decided to give them some time, at least to sit down and you know, watching their activities, and then at a later time, then they will be given their deployment within the rank of the SPLA-IO.
In November last year, the Sudan People's Liberation Army in opposition, or SPLA-IO, issued an arrest warrant for five of its top generals for planning to join the South Sudan People's Defense Forces, or SSVDF. The SPLA-IO then accused President Salva Kiir's administration of attempting to bribe members of the SPLA-IO to abandon the armed opposition group, which support the first Vice President Riek Machar. The SSPDF denies the allegation. Major General Lul Roy Kong, the spokesperson for the South Sudan People's Defense Forces, or SSPDF, said the accusations were false. Efforts to reach the released generals in Langkian, Nyerol County, for comment were not successful as the mobile telephone network in the area appears to be down. One of the generals, Yenthor, has been quoted in local media saying he will remain a loyal officer of the SPLA-IO faction led by Machar. Thor told Radio Tamazuch, "We attempted to defect because of hardship. For humans, it is normal to hear. That is why I apologize, and now I am back with SPLA-IO." End quote. Last year, South Sudan's ceasefire monitoring body said defections of opposition military officers were derailing the implementation of the security arrangements that include the graduation of the unified forces. The ceasefire transitional security arrangements monitoring and verification mechanism set a split within the Sudan's People's Liberation Movement, or Army, or SPLM-AIO, and the first Vice President Machar disrupted plans to graduate the first batch of 83,000 unified forces. In August last year, a SPLM-AIO breakaway faction led by Machar's former chief of staff, General Simon Gadwich Dwal, announced it had divorced Machar from the leadership of the SPLM-AIO. Several senior military officers, once allied to Machar, have since joined Dwal's group and the South Sudan's People's Defense Forces. For VOA News, I am Deng Kaiding in Bor.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, officials in South Sudan confirm cases of Omicron COVID-19 variant. Find out more after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
when you make a mistake, do you admit it or just move on and try not to do it again?
When I realize that I've done something wrong, but of course I have to make sure that I make a correction out of what I have done. Because sometimes there are things we do them and afterwards you learn from them as such.
It depends on the mistake, but most of the time I tend to realize my mistakes. And where it is necessary, I apologize. Why should I keep on moving when I've made a mistake? I've made a mistake, I have to apologize.
When I've done something wrong, I do admit. At the same time, I choose to move forward with my life.
Well, it is hard to admit mistakes. So yeah, usually the first option is to move on and try not to do it again. I think that's my first go-to option.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Health officials in South Sudan have confirmed cases of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. The Director General for Preventive Health Services at the National Health Ministry says samples sent to Uganda's National Virus Research Institute confirm the presence of the variant in South Sudan. For VOA News, Sheila Pony reports from Juba.
Dr. John Rumuno, the Director General for Preventive Health Services at the National Health Ministry, said on Sunday that initial results of the samples sent for testing in Uganda confirmed that the Omicron variant is present in the country.
The new development we have today is that we have received an initial report from UVRI in Uganda, the lab we are sending our samples too for genomic sequencing, and this most recent genomic sequencing interim report indicates that Omicron lineage is present in South Sudan and seems to dominate the December samples we send to UVRI.
UVRI is Uganda's National Virus Research Institute. Mabyurkir is the head of planning and information at the Public Health Emergency Operations Center. He says on December 21st, Health Ministry's officials sent 60 samples to the Uganda Institute, and the results came back on Sunday.
The result that came out yesterday, 46 samples, the one tested. Out of 46, 31 samples turned to have a different variant. Is one of the variants that was detected. The genome sequencing result that was done in Uganda.
He added that 40% of the samples were positive for Omicron variant.
Out of that one, we had five samples detected of Delta variant. These were the major results of yesterday.
The World Health Organization has advised the Ministry of Health to enhance surveillance and accelerate vaccination against COVID to prevent further spread. Tarumuno and other ministry officials urge the public to follow COVID-19 preventive measures to prevent the spread of the new variant.
We in the Ministry of Health would like to continue to urge all citizens to adhere to the NTF guidance with regards to public health and social measures. We should wear masks in public, keep physical distance, and above all, avoid crowded places. And we should practice hand hygiene. All this reduce COVID-19 transmission. And above all, accelerate COVID-19 vaccination coverage.
NTF refers to the National Task Force on COVID-19. Rumuno says the health ministry is pursuing a vaccination plan and will continue to communicate new developments. Joel Hillary, a resident of Gudele, says he did not expect the Omicron variant to reach South Sudan.
Now that the Minister of Health announced its presence, I am going to ensure that I protect myself further and my loved ones by washing my hands frequently with soap and clean water, covering my mouth and nose, and avoiding close contacts wherever I go.
According to the World Health Organization, South Sudan has registered more than 15,000 cases of COVID-19 and at least 136 deaths from the pandemic. South Sudan has administered at least 268,000 doses of COVID-19 vaccines so far. For VOA News, I am Sheila Aponi in Juba.
Still on COVID, the World Health Organization warns the rapid circulation of both Omicron and Delta variant of the coronavirus is leading to what WHO calls a tsunami of cases, severe disease, and surging deaths among the unvaccinated. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says while science had led to the development of COVID-19 vaccines, the global death toll from the disease keeps rising. In 2020, the World Health Organization reported 1.8 million deaths globally, a number that pales in comparison to the additional 3.5 million deaths reported in 2021. Tedros says the reason for the climb is that politics too often trumps the need to work together to defeat this pandemic.
Populism, narrow nationalism, and hoarding of health tools, including masks, therapeutics, diagnostics, and vaccines by a small number of countries, undermined equity and created the ideal conditions for the emergence of new variants.
Tedros condemns the misinformation and disinformation that often is spread by a small number of people for undermining science and trust in life-saving health tools. He says these twin evils are driving vaccine hesitancy and are to blame for the disproportionately large number of unvaccinated people dying from the Delta and Omicron strains of the coronavirus. He warns the virus that causes COVID-19 will continue to evolve and threaten the health system if nations do not improve their collective response. He says it is time to rise above short-term nationalism and protect populations and economies against future variants by addressing global vaccine inequity.
Ending health inequity remains the key to ending the pandemic. As this pandemic drags on, it's possible that new variants could evade our countermeasures and become fully resistant to current vaccines or past infection, necessitating vaccine adaptations.
The WHO chief says it is time to banish the politics of populism, and self-interests are derailing the global response to the pandemic. As 2021 reaches its end, Tedros is asking everyone to make a New Year's resolution to get behind WHO's campaign to vaccinate 70% of the world's population by the middle of 2022. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Health authorities in southeastern Nigeria are worried that despite the surge in new cases of coronavirus Omicron variant, residents are refusing to wear masks and are not social distancing. Officials fear an explosion of new cases as the Christmas and New Year holidays end. For more, Chinedu Ofor reached reporter Munach Chaks in Owori, Imo State.
Yeah, I've been able to move around. I actually visited some shopping malls, event centers, parks, and the recreation parks. And I saw a lot of people there without their masks on. And very few. You can count the number of people that were wearing their masks. And they were seen as outcasts, like people make jests of them. Why are you wearing masks? They can ask you that, yes, because there's nothing like COVID. Most Nigerians still don't believe that there's COVID, that COVID exists. So that's what I saw in the shopping malls and the event centers that I was able to visit.
And what about health facilities, the government health centers? What is the situation there?
It's still a celebration period. The Christmas period is over and this is the New Year season. So most of the government clinics or hospitals are closed. I think they are on break, so to say. So few people are there, mostly people that have been on admission. And I didn't see any center actually where they call vaccination centers. Those centers, vaccination centers, are closed as well because of the Christmas and New Year break or holiday season.
So what are the authorities saying? Because there are fears that there will be an explosion of new Omicron or coronavirus cases as the New Year rolls in.
Yeah, there's this surge of COVID-19 in Nigeria, as we know, and Nigeria entered the fourth wave of the pandemic. And it's actually ravaging the country. And the government, they will tell you that they've made provisions of people to get vaccinated. But one thing I notice here, my observation is this. I listened to radio stations, TV stations I watched. There wasn't any advert or hype or jingles on where you can get vaccinated, the vaccination centers. Which a few people that I interviewed told me that they don't even know where to get their jabs. So there's not much awareness out there in this part of Nigeria, the eastern part. That's what I found out.
A few months ago, the Nigerian government destroyed more than 1 million doses of the COVID vaccine. And from what you just told us, there are those who have not received the vaccine or those who don't know where to get the vaccine. Any explanation as to why vaccines have been destroyed when there are people who don't have even their first shot?
Yes. The authorities I interviewed earlier in Abuja, they told me that those vaccines were expired. And that's the reason they gave and reason they destroyed them. So most Nigerians are now saying that means all the vaccines that people have been taking, you know, were expired vaccines. So, and that gives others room not to take the vaccine, to give excuses that the vaccines that are being given to Nigerians were expired vaccines. But the government have come out to, say that that's not true. They found out that those vaccines that they destroyed were expired. That was the reason they destroyed them, so not to give it to Nigerians. But like I said earlier on, I think there should be more awareness, especially in this part of the country. People rarely wear their masks. People rarely observe the COVID-19 protocols, things like maintaining social distancing in crowded places. There are lots of parties still ongoing at this period, and you see lots of people in these crowded places without their masks on or showing evidence that they've been vaccinated before entering into this gathering.
That's reporter Munach Chucks in Owori, Imo State, speaking with VOA's International Edition Chinedu Ofor. That's all we prepared for you this Monday. We now leave you with Mawa and the song Junubia.
Loves me for real. Every day she let me know she's never gonna let me go. She just told me, boy, I love you. I don't wanna spend another day without you. For better, good, rise or fall. Every day she wants me some more. The best thing ever happened to me. Better than anything before.
We've been listening to Mawa and the song Junubia. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking time to be with us this evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Mama,
are you
Julia?
mana bishukuru rabuna uwajibula na biniade. Kulia mana bishukuru rabuna uwalimu arama biniade. Binia meskin ugiafale.